Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. This morning, we are starting a new series called Blue Note Preaching. We're in a season called Eastertide, which is what you call the time after Easter. I don't know any significance other than that it's just what you call when Easter's over. But man, Easter was so much fun, which is not something I say every year. Sometimes Easter is a lot of work. This year, it was a ton of work, and it was a lot of fun. And I blame all of you for that. So thank you so much for being a church that makes Easter a blast for your pastor to be a part of. Good Friday was wonderful, so meaningful for me, being able to really celebrate God's great love for us through Christ's sacrifice. Spring Fest was a blast. I didn't even get a sunburn this year, which is amazing. I always get a big old nasty sunburn, but not this year, and so I'm grateful for that. I got a lot of those little samples from Dunkin' Donuts. I was like chasing around the people that are handing them out, so just really pounding those, so that was fun. But Sunday morning was just so beautiful. Thank you all for being a part of that. We got to welcome so many friends to come and be a part of what we do here at Shepherd's every single week, and it was so much better because they were there. And I see some folks that have come back, believe the reality that we are open every single Sunday, not just on Christmas Eve and Easter morning. So I'm glad that we were able to welcome you back into the space. So thank you for being a part of that. We're beginning a new series called Blue Note Preaching. And really the focus of this series is to look at some of the sad stories of the Bible without blinking. There are plenty of stories in our lives and in Scripture that are sad. And the way that I was raised, the style of preaching that I was taught, the way that I grew up was that the stories that we preach from, the sermons that we hear, always end with a happy ending, right? The cowboy rides off into the sunset. The guy gets the girl. The family comes back together. They sing Kumbaya. That's the preaching that I grew up in. That's the style that I've always tried to preach in. And a wonderful thing happened. The Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church has decided, set an intention for us to become an anti-racist church. We want to look at the systems and structures that separate people on racial lines. We see that in our culture. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the most segregated hour of the week is Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our churches are separated, and so our cultures aren't meshing as much as they could, and that's been a focused work for us as United Methodists here in Florida to work against that. And one of the things that we're doing in that is I got assigned a book through ordination called Blue Note Preaching, Preaching in a Post-Soul World, that looks at the gift, the practice of African-American preaching. If you've been lucky enough to go to a predominantly African-American church, preaching is very different than what you hear from me. I pace like a tiger, but historically, African-American preachers will dance, they'll sing, they have a lot of energy. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a very energetic United Methodist preacher. There are plenty that'll put you right in a contemplative mood. But in Black American churches, oftentimes the preacher will sing their sermons, will have musical accompaniment, will dance, will shout, will move, and I'm not going to do that, because unless you want to see me fall over and trip on my feet or preach out of tune, which I know you might want to see, but I'm a little bit too prideful to do that. But one of the great gifts of Black American preaching is not just the energy, it's not fearing sorrow. If you hear some of the great African-American preachers of history and of present time, you'll see that the stories that are preached from are sometimes not preached in predominantly white churches because they are sad. And the gift of African-American preaching is not fearing sorrow. Preaching from stories that will not leave you warm and fuzzy, but will leave you challenged, and knowing that we serve a God that is not afraid of our sorrow. And so the first thing I want you to hear today, the first thing I want you to write down, the thing I'm going to say a lot today is this. Our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. Our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. Our passage today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And if you're a member of this church, you might need to crack open the Old Testament because your pastor doesn't preach from there very often. But I'm working on it, y'all. I'm trying to get better, okay? Hear the word of the Lord. As she kept praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah, that's the she and her that we see in the previous verse. Now Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was silent. So Eli thought she was drunk. How long will you act like a drunk? Sober up, Eli told her. No, sir, Hannah replied. I'm just a very sad woman. I haven't had any wine or beer, but have been pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think your servant is some good-for-nothing woman. This whole time, I've been praying out of my great worry and trouble. Eli responded, then go in peace. And may the God of Israel give you what you've asked for him. Please think well of me, your servant, Hannah said. Then the woman went on her way, ate some food, and wasn't sad any longer. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! So this passage is a story with two characters, Hannah and Eli. Eli is the chief priest of Israel. His job is to be in the temple, to attend to the ordinances of God, to watch over the temple, to provide pastoral care for the people within the temple. And Hannah is the first wife of a rich man in Israel. They've come to Jerusalem to practice the religious rites, to offer sacrifices. And Hannah is a wife that has not had any children. And Hannah is burdened by this for many reasons, a desire to have a family, to have a child of her own, but also because in that culture, in that time, in that space, to have no children was to have no social security. In reality, children were not just a blessing from God because kids are cute, but in Hannah's time, it was also the only way that she would know that she would be taken care of as an older woman. So when she grew older and her husband died, the only one that would be left to take care of her would be her children. And so she felt abandoned. She's not suffering because she has no children. She's suffering because she feels abandoned. She feels as if she is all on her own, and she goes to prayer, and what does she hear? Well, friends, she hears nothing. And that leads me to the next thing I want you to write down. Pretending we never feel God is quiet is dishonest. I think in the church, we show up, and we pretend as if we are the only people that hear God every time we are sad. We pretend as if we hear God as clear as day. We never have to doubt or question that God is near to us. But friends, I want you to hear today that if we pretend as if we never feel that God is quiet, then we're being dishonest. Hannah is in the temple because she can't hear God anywhere else. And she is baring her soul because God is not talking loud enough for her to hear. And so she is praying with all of her soul, all of her sadness, all of her sorrow to pull God down by God's ear that she might hear God's voice. But friends, our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. And what does Eli, the chief priest of Israel, say? The pastor of all pastors, the creme de la creme, the Billy Graham of his time. What does he say? Are you drunk? You know? Sees this woman bearing her soul and is so obtuse, so out to lunch that he thinks that she's drunk. Which reminds me, friends, of Christians. I don't know if you've heard of us. We're lovely people, most of the time, some of the time. But one of the greatest faults that we have is we sure are good at saying the wrong thing. At the first service, I saw a wife elbowing her husband. None of that, none of that. I'm not just talking about husbands, though I am chief among the sinners. We can sometimes see sorrow and think, thank goodness I'm here. I've got just the thing to say. I read a Beth Moore book. Joel Osteen's podcast is in my ear. You know, maybe I listen to Andy Stanley, and I know exactly what to say in this time, in this space. That's what Eli was thinking. I think another thing was going on with Eli. Eli saw the pain and saw the sorrow and was uncomfortable because of it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I see sad people, it makes me uncomfortable. And I think that that can't keep going. But friends, let me tell you something that might be hard to hear. Our discomfort around sorrow is not a reason to do harm. You can write this in your bulletin. Our discomfort around sorrow is not a reason for us to do harm. Just because you see someone suffering, just because you see someone in pain, and that makes you uncomfortable, that doesn't mean that you get to put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs to heal on its own. I was a hospital chaplain for a summer, and one of the greatest bits of coaching that I hated to receive was from my supervisor. I would go into these spaces, and I would talk to people who were very sick, and I would tell them about all the ways that they were going to get better very, very soon. And they would say, I'm really sad, I'm really scared, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. And I would say, oh, don't worry, God's got this, you'll be okay. God's at work, you'll be all right, you'll be fine. And then my supervisor pulled me out, which is always a good sign, right? Supervisor says, hey, can we talk? I'm like, oh, no. He says, aren't you a Methodist? That's not a good way for this coaching to begin. Aren't Methodists really into grace? I was like, this is getting worse. Yeah, I'm a Methodist. I'm the only Methodist in the room. Bunch of Catholics and Seventh-day Adventists. I was the only Methodist in the room. And yeah, we're super into grace. And he said, hey, when you try to tell everyone that they're not sad or scared, you're not leaving any room for grace. There's no room for grace when you try and stop the way people feel. When you squish their feelings just because you're uncomfortable, you're not allowing any grace to fill that room. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'll learn. And I moved on. See, I think Eli wants Hannah to be drunk to get rid of his discomfort. Because that way she's not sad. She's just a drunk, right? He can solve that. Cup of coffee, sleeping it off, hydrate, that sort of thing. Get her out of this space because she's a drunk. I don't have to deal with her anymore, but there's something much, much worse. She is in pain. She has sorrow. And Eli has no idea what to do with that. But our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. Let me give you an action point even before we're done with the sermon. I want you to hear this, friends. When you don't know what to say, listen. When you don't know what to say, listen. It's an old adage, but it's true. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk, friends. I know it's corny. I know that you've heard it a million times, but it's true. Listen. What if we were a church that was known for listening? Not giving prescriptions as if we're some divine pharmacist, but instead, what if we could just listen? To sit in the pain, to not be afraid of sorrow, because our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. And there's Hannah, sweet, sweet Hannah, poor Hannah. Is there anything more painful than being in pain and misunderstood? So she's there. She's worked up all the courage that she needs to bear her soul before the God of Israel, the God of the universe, and someone thinks she's a drunk. But here's the beautiful thing, friends. The hope of Easter that I can give you today is that God knows our pain, even if we feel that we cannot hear God. God knows our pain, even if we feel that we cannot hear God. That's the joy of Good Friday. We left Good Friday, and I was saying, oh, it's kind of fun. And someone said, I don't know if fun's the right word for Good Friday. It's like, oh, fair point, fair point. But the gift of Good Friday is remembering the suffering of the God of the universe. We want to skirt past that because discomfort comes from pain, right? We feel that pain. It makes us uncomfortable. We want to move past that as fast as we can. But I don't know about you, but to be alive is to hurt. To love is to lose, friends. To live life, you will get scraped knees. You will bloody your brow. If you're living, you will hurt. And without Good Friday, I don't have anything in common with Jesus Christ. Good Friday is the only thing that I have in common with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The fact that he suffered, the fact that he got abandoned, the fact that he was afraid, all of those things, that's what I have in common with. This prayer that Hannah prays, it's beautiful. The technical term, the genre of prayer from biblical scholars, if you read commentaries on this passage, is a prayer of complaint. I love it. It's so good. There are genres for prayer. I don't know if you know this, like country music and pop music and rock music. There are genres for prayer. There's prayers of praise. There's prayers of asking. And there's prayers of complaint. I didn't know the prayers of complaint. It's like I found a whole new genre of music, right? But sometimes for me, when I pray, I feel like I need to keep my complaints to a minimum, right? I feel like I need to kind of bottle those up. You know, I'm talking to the God of the universe. I feel like I shouldn't complain to that God who's given me all good things. You know, this God made mountains and streams, my family and tacos. Like this should be mostly thanks, right? Going upward. But not if you read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you find that there's a whole genre of prayer called prayers of complaint. And that's what Hannah is offering up. Our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. Our pain is not wasted. I do not tell you this so that your pain will stop bugging me. I think Christians, another thing that we do sometimes is that we'll say, oh, look at what God's going to do with your pain. God's going to do a great thing about this. This is called spiritual bypassing. This is not a spiritual gift. This is a thing that God needs to change within us. If you feel pain, it is not our job to make that pain stop so that we can stop being uncomfortable. In fact, our pain is not wasted because you are not wasted. See, friends, your pain is a part of who you are. The sorrow, the suffering, all of those things goes into making the beautiful creation that you are. There's this style of pottery from Japan called kintsugi, and I have a couple of photos of it. This is a beautiful ceramic blue bowl that has been broken. I don't know if the potter's son threw a ball in the house like I did to my mother's ceramic swans that she got from her mother. I only broke one, though. It's fine that you get one when there's a pair, right? It's not important to have a pair or anything. Anyways, I digress. It only happened 20 years ago. I still remember it every single day. But there's this thing called kintsugi where potters will take the bowl that they've created and then smash it on the ground. They'll gather up the dust. They'll take adhesive, ceramic adhesive, mix it all together. And the last thing they mix with it is gold. And then they repair the plate with this gold glue. The reason why they use gold is to show that our broken places are the most beautiful. The pain, the sorrow, the healing that we do is the most beautiful part of us. Because it shows where God was at work. Now, friends, this isn't me saying that everything happens for a reason, or that God gives us more than we can handle. I don't believe either of those things. I know that that might be controversial. It's okay, I promise. I'll stay here with you. But when we say everything happens for a reason, or God never gives us more than we can handle, I feel like that's us trying to put pressure on the pain to make it stop. I feel like that's us rushing in to the broken places and saying, no, 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 it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But instead, what I'm saying is that your pain is not something to hide in shame. It is something to share in pride for what God has done. The broken places are filled with gold because that is where God was at work. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this, "He said to me, 'My grace is enough for you because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me.'" What Hannah could have done is taking that sorrow, this fear, this feeling of abandonment, and bottled it up, hid it away, pretended like it wasn't there. And when someone said, "How are you?" she could say, "I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you?" When someone said, "Hannah, you seem a little bit different. Is everything okay?" "Oh, it's just allergies. I haven't been sleeping very well. I'm not feeling like myself." But instead, what she did was she came and she poured out her pain onto the altar, called out to God and said, "God, I don't know where you are. I need to hear you. I am alone. I am in pain." She found that our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. Because friends, our pain makes us human. To be human is to hurt. To be alive on this planet is to feel pain. To love is to lose. To hurt is to have a connection with Christ. To hurt is to have God close to you. Psalm 34:18 says this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed." God is close to the brokenhearted. God saves those whose spirits are crushed. When we suffer, when we have pain, when we bottle it up, when we hide it away, we are getting in between God, who wants to be close to us, who wants to save our crushed spirits. When we try to put band-aids on things that need time to heal, when we cover them up with platitudes, when we say things will work out, keep your chin up, pretend like everything's okay, when we ignore sorrow, we are missing out on a God that wants to be near to us. Friends, our sorrow does not scare God off. Our pain is not wasted. So every week, I give you some homework. I mean, why else be here if you don't want your life to change a little bit, right? There's brunch now. I don't know if you know this. Brunch doesn't make you change, but when I preach to you, I'm going to try and make you change just a little bit, okay? But our action for this week is this. I want you to name your sorrow to God at least once. You don't need to do it every day. I know this is going to cost you. But if you've never, ever named your sorrow to God, I want you to say it out loud by yourself while you pray. Let God hear it. And then I want you to give yourself permission to feel the pain and identify any shame that is attached to that pain. If you feel ashamed for your pain, I want you to identify it and offer it up to God. And then a different sort of homework is, the next time you are lucky enough to hear someone else's pain, commit to listen and not speak, and allow your ears to leave space for the Holy Spirit to speak. You know, Hannah bore her soul to God, and she was given the gift of Samuel, her son. That's what the book is named after. But friends, that's not the point of this story. The point is not that everything ends up working out, because sometimes in our lives, things don't work out. The point of the story is that our sorrow does not scare God off, and our pain is never wasted. Let's pray together. All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.